right now in our family, there just seems to be a lot going on. No details are necessary, but just ask you to pray for us, pray for our kids, pray for our grandkids. I mean, it's nothing bad, like sickness or broken relationships or anything. There just seems to be a lot happening in different fronts, and so just ask that you'd be keeping us in prayer. Just really for ourselves and our kids, just really looking for the Lord's direction on what he wants us to be doing and where he wants us to be going and all that sort of stuff. So if you'd just keep us in prayer, we would appreciate it. And we know that the Lord's got it all figured out already. He just hasn't let us know. But we know that that will come in his time. So whenever, Lord, we're ready, let's go. Okay. I know you've been there before. Maybe you're there right now. And just a reminder that I haven't given you in a while, but I will today. And that's it. I have a Facebook page. And if you're a Facebook person, you can find me on there. I don't do much of anything on there. I don't look at it that often or anything, but it's there. So if you would like to comment, complain, ask for prayer or something, you know, I have started checking it a little more frequently. And if I know that people are going to use it, I will check it on a regular basis. So just on Facebook, look for As Is Ministries. Okay, As Is Ministries, because the Lord takes us like we are. You know, you buy a house or a car or something like that, sometimes it'll say, you know, you're buying it as is, you know, with the rusted quarter panels or the nasty carpet or, you know, whatever it might be. You're taking it as is. And that's how God takes us, just as we are. So if you want to go there and just leave me a note, I'd appreciate it. So let's get started with prayer. Father, we just give you thanks that you do take us just like we are, because we could never get to the point that we're good enough that you would say, oh, okay, you know, Don looks like he's improved. You know, he's not doing all those nasty things anymore, and he's reading the Bible more, and he's praying, and also, yeah, I guess I can take him. No, you don't work that way. You take us with all of the nasty stuff in our lives and all the warts and everything and say, okay, I'm going to take you, but I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to clean you up. And so, Father, we just praise you for that. So, Lord, as we look at your word and just see how it's maybe going to apply to us today, Father, just help us to understand better what you have for us. What you have in mind for us. So, Lord, we just give this to you. Lord, open our ears, our hearts, our minds, and let us get from this what you want us to. Now, there are some things that are good enough that, you know, you want to do a repeat thing, and you get your favorite restaurant, and, you know, maybe your favorite dish at your favorite restaurant that, you know, when we go to, excuse me, Cracker Barrel, you know, I'm either going to get the pancakes or I'm going to get meatloaf or I'm going to get the pot roast, you know, one of those three things. And, you know, there's other places that I'm sure you have that are like that. There's some movies that you've watched that maybe you've watched over and over. You know, there's some movies that, you know, especially Christmas movies. You know, every Christmas, you know, you watch these Christmas movies. Our youngest son, he has the Santa Claus 2, and Santa Claus 3, and every year he watches those. I like The Christmas Story, and my wife does not. So, you know, when she's not around, I will watch that every year, just because it's a favorite of mine. There's some songs that we, you know, we like to play over and over. you know, maybe you have them on your iPad or, you know, whatever, and you just, you know, keep it and repeat on it. You know, I remember back in the cassette tape days, you know, you would rewind and now you try to get back to the beginning of it and you go a little further back. No, you went too far, and, you know, because you wanted to hear that song again. There's some reruns on TV. Last night I watched The Love Boat. That's the first time I think I've watched The Love Boat since the 80s. But, you know, it's a corny thing. But, you know, there's reruns. You know, there's a couple of, or maybe more, TV stations. That's all I have. You know, Andy Griffith, I Love Lucy. You know, how many millions of times have those things have been watched by millions of people? Because they're good. They're funny. There's some messages that maybe you've heard. You know, maybe, you know, in your church where you worship, and, you know, the pastor's message was really good that day. And so, you know, it used to be you'd get it on tape or on a CD. But now you can go online and you can find that message and, you know, listen to it again and again if you want to, or play it for somebody else. And we have our favorite scriptures. You know, there's a different passage or different verse or a different Bible story that we just, you know, it maybe brings us comfort or helps us to gain the strength, confidence that we need, whatever it might be. And so we go back to that different times. You know, and I don't keep track of the scriptures that I use on podcasts. You know, I probably could, and I know I could, and I probably should, but I don't. And there's some that I know that I use frequently. And because there's some passages or some verses that they just kind of fit in everywhere. You know, no matter what you're talking about, you know, it just seems like that would really fit. I may not use it as, you know, my main scripture, but maybe as a supporting, you know, and there's probably some topics that I speak on more often than others. When I was pastoring churches and I put together the worship service, you know, all the scripture and the songs and everything. I know some pastors don't do the music, but I love to because I want it to go with my message. And so I'd be starting to put the bulletin together, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd really like to use that song. And so then I would look in the hymnal that I would always have, that I would write the date when I used a hymn. You know, every time I used it, I would write the date in there. And so I would be thinking, you know, this one would really sound good. And I look and I used it last week or, you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, which isn't the end of the world. But, you know, if it's a song people like, I guess you can sing it whenever you want to. But the only message type that I purposely do on a regular basis, if you're a regular listener, is messages on giving or tithing. You know, if there's a month with five Tuesdays, one of those Tuesdays is going to be a message on giving or tithing. And I held to that for many years. I mean, when I was still pastoring, I was doing that. So if you listen to my message often, you know that I occasionally sing. It's not because I think I'm a great singer, but sometimes there's a song that helps get the message across. Sometimes I'll just read the words instead of singing. Sometimes I think I'm gonna sing this song, and then when I get to it, I think, no, I'm just gonna read it. And, you know, you may remember a message because, you know, oh yeah, I really like that message. That's when he sang, you know, whatever. He really murdered that song. Yeah, I remember. That's how I remember that message, because he really did a terrible job on that song. Well, I know that I've used part of this song before in a message, but I'm going to use it again because it's my prerogative. So I'm going to kind of break it down, you know, by the verse and by the chorus and all. And so if you worship in places where they use more contemporary worship songs, this will be familiar to you. If you worship at a church where all they do is sing from the hymnal, and you don't listen to any contemporary songs online, you probably never heard it before. And at the end, I'm going to tell you where you can find it on YouTube. But the name of the song is Another in the Fire. And sang this a couple weeks ago at the service. I was listening to Life Church online, and they sang this again. And so it just really clicked with me once again. And the first verse says, there's a grace when the heart is under fire, another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Now those two lines, line 3 and 4, when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning. Okay, if you're a believer, you're not who you were before Christ, period. You know, if you gave your life to the Lord and you're reading your Bible and you're going to church, you're active in a worship setting and all, you're not who you used to be. But at the same time, you're not who you will become. Okay, so you're growing, you're still serving, and you're still learning. And so that space between who you used to be and who you are now, that reckoning, that space gets smaller, okay? Because you become more and more of Christ. Now this is the first chorus. It says, there was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden. Where another died for me, there is another in the fire. Well, of course, that chorus gives us some familiar scripture. Another in the fire, Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to him. Verses 24 and 25 in the New Living Translation says, after they had been thrown into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. There was another in the fire standing next to me. Was that Jesus? We don't know. Was it Michael or Gabriel, archangel? We don't know who it was, but he came in, protected them from the fire, unbound them, and they were just kind of standing around talking. Not a hair singed. Says they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out, the 3 of them. By the time they had opened up the furnace, whoever that number 4 was gone. Whoever the another was no longer there. And holding back the sea. Well, we know the story well in Exodus 14. God parted the Red Sea. Israelites escaped on dry land. Well, it also tells us this in Isaiah about the water and the flames both. In Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, it says, when you pass through the waters, this is God speaking, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. There was another in the fire. There was another in the waters. That's God. The third thing that that chorus tells us is, says there's a cross that bears a burden where another died for me. Oh, how many times Paul wrote about that in his letters over and over again, explaining to people about his conversion and about how the Israelites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and how they put Christ on that cross. But let's look at this one time in Romans 5, 6. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Okay. There was another in the fire. There was another in the waters. And there's a cross that bears my burden where another died for me. Let me give you the next part of the song. It says, all my debt left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way, I won't bow to the things of this world, and I know I will never be alone. Jesus died for the sins of all, died for everybody's sins, the sins before him, the sins at that time, the sins today, the sins in our future. Okay, he died for me, for my sins that I've already committed and the ones that I'm still going to commit later today. But unfortunately, that's it. It doesn't mean that we won't sin again. Okay, at that moment that we give our life to Christ, bam, everything that was written down for us has been erased, okay? But it gets filled back up again. And we'll fall at times into the space between. Excuse me. But because of the strength that we receive from Jesus, we have a choice. Excuse me. And what we need to vow is, I won't bow to the things of this world, like the song says. How can we accomplish that? Because we know that we'll never be alone. God tells us many times in Scripture, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It does not mean that there won't be times when we feel like he has. You know, when we find ourselves in a situation and we kind of look around and say, you know, well, God, where are you? You know, what's up with this? You said you wouldn't leave me, but, you know, I feel like you're a million miles away from me. Where are you, God? And if we would just reach out, we'd find that he's right there. Because he didn't leave. No matter what you're going through, he didn't leave. This is a really powerful line where it says, there's a grave that holds no body, and now that power lives in me. That is where the victory came from, the empty tomb, the living Jesus, the Pentecostal power that we have to step away, to run away, to turn our back on the ways of the world, the things the world says, hey, you need to try this. Hey, come here and do that. No, go there and try this nasty thing. We've got that Pentecostal power that came from that empty tomb. And now we don't have to fall into it anymore. I really love this next verse. I think it's really amazing. It says, and can I see the light in the darkness? As the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens. As the space between wears thin, I can feel the ground shake beneath us. As a prison walls cave in, nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. As the darkness bows to him. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Darkness always, always, always has to bow to the light. The darkness is Satan. The darkness is him and all of his little minions. And the light is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. When you have the light of Jesus in you, darkness has to bow to you because you have the power of the light and we got to use it more. You know, I got to use it more. I know that for sure. And I can only imagine that you need to use it more as well because we got that power. But we just kind of hang on to some things. I know I keep saying this is the best part, but this chorus is really amazing. Or this verse is really amazing. Well, this one really is too. It's verse 3. It says, there is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may, in this space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, and I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who's still to come, the Almighty One. He's going to be with us through it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Okay? No matter what the world throws at you, latch onto that power that you have through the risen Jesus Christ and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, get away from me. You have no power over me. I am a son of God. My brother Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins. So Satan, you've got nothing on me. Get away from me. That's the power that we have, and God's going to be there with us. Well, this next chorus tells us something new. It says, there'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy in every battle. Do you get that? I'll count the joy in every battle. You know, when we're relying on Christ, we can get the victory in every battle that there is. Does that mean I'll have no more problems? Wouldn't that be great? But it's not true. But we can still come out with a victory. We can still win when we hang on to Jesus Christ. It may not be the victory that we thought we should have, but it's going to be the victory that God gives you. The joy in the battle is knowing that you're not fighting alone, okay? Because there'll be another in the fire standing next to me. And the joy is this. In Luke 10, Jesus sent out the 72 to teach and to heal, okay? And then the 72 comes back. Luke 10, 17 and 18 says the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In the name of Jesus, we can have the joy of victory, just like those 72 did, just like the 12 did, just like Paul did. We can have that if we hang on to the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the rest of the song. Excuse me. It says, and I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. And I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. Praise God. If you've never heard the song before, go online, go to YouTube. I use Bing, I don't use Google. I put in Bing, Another in the Fire lyrics, and then go to videos, and you get a dozen of them that come up. The one that I like the best, because it's a live worship setting, is Another in the Fire - Amanda Lindsay Cook. And it's from Bethel Music on YouTube. Okay? I mean, this song indirectly brings in so much scripture, gives us so much life, gives us so much power, so much encouragement that, man, we need in this world that we're living in. Let me first pray for our believers, and then I want to talk a little bit more. Father, I just lift up those that know you, and Lord, maybe they're living in that power. Maybe they're seeing the victories. Maybe they know the truth that this song gives us and the scripture that it relies on. But Lord, maybe, you know, they feel kind of like wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Lord, let them know that they can be powerful, powerful, powerful. They just need to call on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and they'll see the joy in every victory. They'll see the joy in the victory over the battles. So, Father, help us to reach out to you in the ways that we should. Because, Father, you want us to be victorious. You want us to carry that light into a dark, dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Back around 2000, one of the churches that I was serving, and every year as a pastor, you had to meet with your district superintendent. And I met with my DS, and one of the churches had, well, they had a lot of complaints about me, but one of the complaints that they had, they said, he talks too much about salvation. You know, I mean, every week he's talking about salvation, salvation, salvation. Well, you know, the DS didn't give me any names, but, you know, I knew who they were. And it didn't surprise me because they had a daughter that was married to a Mormon. And so, therefore, you know, didn't believe as I do. But... you know, it was one of those times you just kind of shake your head and move on. I remember about that time, or shortly after that time, I met with the district superintendent down in Maryland or Delaware, can't remember which, and same conference. And I said something to him about, you know, they complain I talk too much about salvation. He says, well, what are you supposed to be talking about? You know, isn't that what it's all about? Well, some people, yeah. And some people know they want to get a warm fuzzy and go home and feel like such good little people. But they just didn't get that from me. So, but I've always felt that people complain about things that make them feel uncomfortable. Okay, if you're a smoker, and I complain about smokers and smoking and, you know, how bad it stinks and the mess that it makes, and, you know, that's going to make you feel kind of uncomfortable. If you maybe have an alcohol problem and I complain about all the beer commercials on TV and all the other, you know, things, how they glorify drinking all the time on TV and, you know, movies and all, you know, that may make you a little uncomfortable. And if you're an adulterer or an abuser or a thief or whatever, and somebody's talking against something that you're doing, you know, you're going to feel uncomfortable. So unsaved people don't like to hear about salvation. John 6:44-45 says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will be taught by God, Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Maybe you've heard this before. Or if you've heard it, you've not been drawn to Jesus. You know, but the plan of salvation is, you know, you need to know that what the scriptures tell us is true. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived his life as an example for us. He died on the cross for our sins. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he says, I'm coming back. You need to believe that that's true. Then you need to believe that you've been a sinner. Just like everybody else, you've been a sinner. And turn that over to the Lord. And ask the Lord to come into your life. And to be with you and to help you and to strengthen you and to change your life. Because like it said in John 6, they'll be taught by God, okay? Allow yourself to be taught by God. So some people hear the plan of salvation over and over and over again. You know, they go to a church where every week, you know, they hear it. And nothing, you know, they don't care. They don't want to hear it. But then that one time, they hear it one more time, or maybe a different person tells them, or maybe they're in a different place, or a different place in their life, and then they decide to give themselves to the Lord. Some people go to church for years and don't hear about how you can be accepted and how you can live your life different in Jesus Christ. So I don't know if you're one of those people. You know, I don't know if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you don't, I want you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died on the cross for my sins. And he came to life. And he's coming back. Lord, I know I've been a sinner. I turn my life over to you. Come and fill my life that I can live for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.